I am Stephanie, and a grateful recovering alcoholic. And, you know, this is good for me to do. I always say I try to live the steps, but having to work them through for this program and doing this has even enlightened me more. I find things that I didn't realize over the years. And I'm very glad to be doing this for my own good, not for you, for my own. When I think of character defects, the first thing that came to my mind, live in a convent. And you got tons of character defects. Tons of them. Everybody, they can pick them out on you, and I can pick them out on them. And it's a real free-for-all. It's in 6 and 7, they kind of combine. It says we're entirely ready to have God remove all our defects of character. Well, after 36, almost 36 years, I'm still working on some that I still can't get rid of. I think of the defects that are glaring to me is, one of the things is control. I've always been in a position where I was in charge. And that's hard to not want to take over. As soon as something happens or something has to be done, I think I have to take care of it. I am stepping back over the years and letting other people, but I see it constantly in my life at the Mother House. Somebody's in control. I work with another sister. I have charge of the workers, housekeepers, and I'm also a chaplain on the out too, but I have charge of them. And it seems like every time there's something to do with housekeeping, this other nun, I don't know what the conversation was the other day. Oh, she told me somebody was coming. We have a big apartment, and then we have a lot of rooms. And we call it Motel 6, because every time I turn around, we have company. Well, I don't know what she said, and I said, why do you have to always give them the apartment just for overnight? There's a lot of work to that. And she said, well, I can't put them in something. And I said, you don't clean it up after they leave. Oh, I know what that's like. I said, oh, no, you don't. And, you know, there we were. And the humanness comes out no matter how hard you try. We're asking God to remove all our defects of character. I like some of mine. But I do ask God, you know, when I'm like this, I ask for, to help me overcome it. And, you know, I think it comes with age. As you get older, what difference does it make? You know, why get into that silly nitty-gritty stuff? And in 7, we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. And I have to do that every day. And our key is to be entirely ready to have God do it and to ask Him. Sometimes I forget to ask Him when I get in my situations. I liked these defects of character really to the 7 capital sins. Now, we're not sinners, but we have these tendencies. And the first one's pride. And I like to be recognized. I think everybody does. And you like to have somebody say something good about you. Or if you do a job, you like to have somebody commend you for a job well done. Or you take pride in. But then there's a pride where you feel that you're better than somebody, or you have more abilities than they do, you're more educated. I have seen that over years, some people. I live with a sister who she's a biochemist. She has a PhD. If you met her, you wouldn't know it. Very humble woman. I pray for that humility. Because you wouldn't know it unless we told you. So pride is one of the, it's part of us. We are born with all of these instincts, but as we drink, they become more glaring. And, I may have told you when I was drinking, I would tell you that I had a master's in math, I had this, I had that. Who cares? I think of it now. Who cares? Nobody. It's how I treat people. And that's so important today. Envy. Well, if somebody got a promotion or somebody got named principal to a school and I wanted that school or whatever, that's envy. And I would envy somebody that had something new that I wanted. It's part of self-will. It's part of, it causes a lot of problems if you're envious of people. You don't treat them properly because they have something more than you. Maybe they're more brilliant, or they're have more money, or I have seen that over my life. As somebody comes from a family of wealth, people are, and usually those are the people that are so humble. It's the people that wish that they were. And then sloth, that's kind of like laziness. Now, I never thought I was lazy. I always was a worker. But as I drank, I didn't always care whether a job got done or not. And that's part of being the way we are. Let somebody else do it. They'll do it. And there were times like today, we had feast day, so the tables had to be set up for the decorated for that. And I was doing something else, and I was going to help them, and then I never did. By the time I went to help them, they were done. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, well, you know, could I have been there to be another support? A lot of times there are chances that I have that I'd rather not do it. And I have to work on that. I have to work on that. Because if I come home and I'm tired and I don't want to be bothered, so I kind of lay low. And then sometimes I think, well, I have the opportunity to be of service. And then I think about it after the fact. So I try to be there at that point. Or I know a lot of times they say they need readers in chapel for the readings. And one day I overheard a conversation that said, well, Steph reads too fast. So then this nun came to me and said, we don't have a reader today. I said, that's too bad. Now, I said, you can do it. I have since pulled my horns in. But every once in a while, when I see the list and nobody signed up, I'm not going to do it. That's part of this. It's a character defect. And I have to work on it. And I want you to know how proud I am. I looked at the list. And for next week, and the other thing is, all the readings are so long that I want to read them. It's all through Moses and the leaving Egypt and all their fights and all that. The readings are huge. So I won't read. Well, I've checked out for next week. And there's a short reading. So guess whose name's on it? Mine. But that's kind of a laziness. And then doing it tomorrow. I never thought I was that way. But as I drank, I'd say, well, we'll take care of it tomorrow. Then I would forget about it. You know, and that's laziness. They talk about easy does it. Now, in the program, that means with our program, we don't rush into it. We learn how to live life. And that's where that easy does it comes from. The next one's covetousness. Well, if you got a new car, I think we ought to get a new car. Or if you have something, I think I should have it. And that's part of those deadly sins. But we don't live them to the extreme that I know of. But there are people who, sometimes it's a form of jealousy. You have something better than I have. Sometimes I, you know, if I hear about a promotion somebody got, somebody might say, well, why did they get it? They didn't really, you know. That is part of these character defects that that creep up. Anger. If you didn't do it my way, watch out. And when I was drinking, I was principal, and I tried to be fair, but there were times that my anger was shown, and not at the children so much as the staff when they didn't do what I thought they should be doing. Resentments that come through that, when you're angry. And then the other one is lust. Well, enjoying things that aren't the proper thing to enjoy. And I can remember as a kid, my family were all medical, so I wanted to know a little more than I knew. So I would go through the medical books and check it out. That's not proper, but that's not lust. But some people, I guess, do commit that sin. Gluttony, overeating, overdrinking, and that's where we are. You know, I failed. I like to drink beer. I like wine, and I did more than my share of that. You know, I never started out with one bottle of beer anyway. It always had to be two. And you know, when there's not enough, or you have to search for it and ask people to get it out for you or whatever. Control, I would always say that of all the character defects, probably control. And I have to watch that even now. I see a lot of it at the mother house where somebody has to be in charge of it. It has to go this way. You got to watch a group when we have to do something as a group. Whoa, is it exciting? Because somebody wants it done this way, and somebody wants it done this way, and the next thing you know, I take off. I learned. This program has taught me that I don't have to be there helping to control. And I just stand back and listen to them. Then I walk away and think, go to it, honey. Because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Do I work on these defects? I sure do. And step 7 says that we have to keep asking God to remove them. Whatever it is. Our shortcomings are. And when I catch myself today, I do ask God to forgive me, because that's not the behavior I should have. I think that, people expect a lot, and sometimes I just sit back and just say, you know, I'll do it later, but it always gets accomplished. But I don't have to be in the foreground now, front, all the time, doing everything. And for people that praise you, I don't need praised. Just do it. We have a couple that they have to be noted for what they do. And they need that. Maybe that's it. They need that. I think it's, you know, we don't have to do that. We should just do it. Somebody will say, I wonder who did that and made the beds or did this or did that. I may know who did it, but, you know, they don't want to know. There are some that say, I don't want anybody to know I did that. Or there'll be a collection and they'll give and they'll say, you know, I don't want anybody to know that I gave that. And then there are some that will let you know they did. We all have this, and I'll have these character defects till the day I die, but I have to work on them. And some of them are less and less. If you get something new, I don't care. That's nice that you got it. If you got a promotion, that's okay. Congratulations. But I wasn't always like that. And through this program, I've realized that, you know, what is it worth? What is it worth? I'm trying to be a good human being and care about people. And or somebody that's, you know, not recognized. We have a few sisters I know that don't get recognized. And I really pay attention to them. Oh, you're taking her out. You're doing this. Yes, they need recognized. They need to have feel. They've been put down. We were doing, when we had our 150th anniversary, we had to do an oral history. And a lot of sisters did it. I did. I was also one of them. Well, then after they did it, they wanted a few of us to take all these oral histories and recapture important things of these sisters. Well, I had this one nun. Now I know her. She's a friend of mine. And when I did her oral history, I couldn't believe it. She's a very wonderful woman. She was never recognized for anything. Never. And I said to her one day, Millie, I didn't realize that, you know, you did all this. And she said, yeah, you know, that's just part of being who I was. But she was not recognized. So today, you know, I make sure she's recognized for different things. And we have other sisters. Then there was another one. This is funny. This sister is listening to it. And she was head of an institution. And she was replaced by another sister later. And when she listened to it, she said, I don't believe this. The second administrator was getting credit for part of a building that the first administrator was responsible for. She said, I should not have listened to this. I said, well, the truth came out. I would say to you, go back and say to her, you know, I'm the one that put up the first building. But she didn't do that. The other person's dead now. But I said, that happens. The wrong person gets credit. And in our program today, let them get credit. Who cares? Let it get done. And so that's humility. And that's what I have to pray for. I don't have to be top chief. One day, I don't know who said to me, that's not too long ago, I didn't know you were so educated. What are you talking about? She said, I didn't know you had all the... I said, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? It's how you treat people. And I think that what I've learned from doing these steps, especially 6 and 7, is I need a lot of humility and work on it. And this has helped me find my own space, because I don't need to look around at the people I live with. I only have to look at me, and that's really all I have tonight. Thank you. Right. You're welcome. I have to stay if they have a question.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Okay, thank you, Steph.
At this time,
if we have any questions, just raise your hand and I'll come around with the mic.
Keep your hand, Steph. Oh, good.
Works.
Kevin always does.
Okay, oh.
That's okay.
Well, you're feeding your face.
Okay, Sister Stephanie.
Oh, jeez. If we are entirely ready to get rid of all these defects of character, so that means that we really aren't getting rid of them. We are just trying to associate, know that they're there, and try to stop ourselves from doing that again.
Right.
Okay. Because I really thought that, you know, we really had to, like, pray about getting rid of all of these character defects. And so I was a little bit wishy-washy on that.
We're never going to get rid of them. And I always allude this to a hydra. The Greek mythology talks about this creature in a sea. It's a hydra with all these tentacles. And if you try to kill a hydra, you slice off one of their tentacles, another one will come back. It keeps coming back. And so with your character defects, when you're aware of them, you work on it, and it may become less. But I think I'll go to the grave with the ones I've had. But I have to be aware, and I try to be aware. When I think I'm in control, like this nun had said something about the bedroom, and I said, she was in charge, and she's not in charge anymore, and everybody in the house says, she still thinks she's in charge. And I say to them, well, let her be, makes her happy. It's not going to make anything, but I did come back about the bed. I said, well, you don't have to do the work, you know. And I try to help the girls, because there's a lot. It's a big building. But anyway, but I work at it. I work at it.
So I was just wondering if you think people who, and myself included, like to have control of things, do you feel that that control is also associated closely with fear?
Oh yeah, we're afraid that somebody's going to walk over us or, you know, put us down or... Yeah, and fear is the big underlining thing of all of our problems, all of them. I drank with fear because I didn't... I had to be what you wanted me to be. And today I can be me. And I don't care if you like me or not. Oh, I knew it.
30,000 people and no questions. Unbelievable. Anyway, thank you again. You did a wonderful job, as always. What I'd like to know is, you mentioned, you know, about our character defects, and our character defects is we have to continually work on those, and sometimes they come back. One of the things that you said was that you did prayer to try to help you recognize and manage them or whatever.
Yeah.
What other tools do you have or use to manage your character defects or other people?
Well, if it's like control and so I'm getting involved with somebody and we're kind of, you know, I walk away. A lot of times I just walk away and let it be, or don't answer if it's a verbal confrontation. I just walk away. It's not worth it. Because they're going to still want to believe what they believe.
Hi, Albert, alcoholic.
Alberto.
How often should you look at your character defects? Some people do it weekly,
well, like
monthly. What do you suggest?
When you do your 10th step and you look over the day, now what I'll do today is look over the day and see how I reacted, how I was with somebody. Did I comfort? Was I caring? I think I'm more aware of that because I'm chaplain and I deal with a lot of elderly, and there's such a need for them to know that somebody cares and to go in and make them feel good. and feel good. And so I have become more and more. I was in charge of our infirmary for a long time too. And I remember I'd always give our staff a talk to them before if they were new about the patient's background. Because when you go into nursing homes, you see these people with Alzheimer's, with all kinds of dementia, or if they're healthy, you know, mentally, they still need something. You have to know where they came from. We had a lady at St. Mary's, she's dead now, she was going to be 100. She was in the Nuremberg trial. She was one of the judges in the Nuremberg trial. And in Germany, after the war, the Nazis. She had a wealth of information. But at the end, she couldn't communicate that. And I always told the staff there, what was her background? And some of them were so surprised that what that woman had accomplished. And same with our sisters. We have two at St. Mary's, Alzheimer's. And of course they have Alzheimer's now. But the contribution they made to community in their day, they need to be recognized. They're not just a sick person now. So that's so important. That's why I'm nice to Kevin.
Pete, you have a question?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Thanks, Pete.